Hey, just left the store. I will be there shortly. Got something for you and the baby. So I will see you in a little bit. Yeah, put the beers in the freezer. And go have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on, I'm a little flat.
Really? Was it worth it? No, he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone. This is Ken Rowan and Road to Stardom Radio. Subscribe to everyone. Have a great show today. Appreciate you rocking with us. And we're going to get this show started with some great topics today. Give me 1 minute, 6, and I will open your mic. And you know, as always, we got trivia today towards the end of the show. We got trivia. 6 said last show. If y'all want to battle him, all you got to do is call into 424-243-9617. And you can battle him during the trivia. You can battle him.
Go. Let's go. What's up, America? How y'all doing? Six and Road here. Hope everybody had a great day. Bittersweet. Good friend of mine. Turning over new management, so definitely going to miss them. But, you know, we got to usher in new people. So I just want to say to the management team, love y'all, and we'll still be keeping in touch. And we're going to move on. Hope everybody had a great day here on Six and Road for this last day of April, April 30th, 2024. Everything's good. Two thumbs up for myself, two paws up for Trumpet, and got some salmon bacon in the oven, so it don't get no better than that. How was your day? Roadie Road.
My day was good, dude.
Right.
So you have the salmon, I'm having spaghetti and sausage.
That's what's up. And in entertainment news, you know, Drake has this beef going on with Kendrick Lamar. And, you know, Kendrick is a big fan of Tupac, you know. Kendrick credits his career to Tupac. He was an influence with him being, a youngster. And it's a sample that Drake uses in his song, his diss track to Kendrick. And the estate of Tupac didn't authorize it. And they said, nor would they ever authorize that because they uphold Kendrick in high regard, you know, for the love for his son, you know, for the craft and just for overall respect for the individual, you know, outside his artistry. And he has mad respect for the estate and for the Tupac family. So they said never would they had authorized use of that sample. So they want him to stop playing that track immediately. So what's your thoughts on that?
So I'm going to explain it to the people. So even though it sounds like Tupac's voice, Drake used AI for Tupac and Snoop's voice on his diss track to Kendrick Lamar. He used AI for Tupac and Snoop's voice for his diss track. So it's not really Tupac's voice. It's AI.
Okay, what is the name of the diss track? What's the name of it? Because we're gonna play it here on the show tonight.
I do not know because I don't listen to Drake.
Okay, how about you look it up, use those.
Nor do I listen to Kendrick Lamar. Not that they're not good artists. They're just not what I listen to.
Well, if anybody knows the name of the song, let us know. Call in.
You got Alexa next to you. Say, Alexa, play Drake's diss track, and she should play it.
He's not going to know it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Alexa,
you'd be surprised.
Play Drake's diss track.
Couldn't find them. But here are other songs by Drake and
what she said?
He don't know the name of it.
I don't listen to it. So I don't know it. Let's see. I don't know if they'll be able to hear this theory.
It on wax, you know. That's what happened with Biggie and Tupac. You know, they both are talented artists in their own right. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you, but
keep
a lot
it
of
in the music.
They take it too far, like because it was Kendrick and J. Cole. It was Kendrick and J. Cole first. And then J. Cole apologized to Kendrick, and now it's Kendrick and Drake. And for me, I don't know. And then it's like me, the beef between Kendrick and Drake. They two talented rappers. They're going at each other for what? Because it's something somebody said in the song. I guess this is Kendrick way of saying I ain't no sucker. I ain't going to let him drop a diss on me and I'm not come back.
Right.
And the same thing with Chris Brown and Quavo. But I understand Chris Brown and Quavo's beef because Quavo used to date Karrueche Tran that Chris Brown used to date as well. And you understand what I'm saying? So I get their beef. But Quavo, all I gotta say is Quavo, he should have never came back with a second diss track on Chris Brown. He should have never, people were saying, do not do another diss track, and he did. And it was terrible. And since we're talking about this subject of beef, can you tell me my record of beef?
Say it again.
So, K. Michelle is Tamar Braxton are beefing.
Well, did Kim Michelle get her ass fixed yet?
Yes, she been had the surgery done to take all that silicone out her booty. But what I'm saying is, back in, I won't say the early 2000s, but like in the middle, Kay Michelle had put out that Nick Hicks, who's a producer slash DJ, had hit her. And this is around the time that he was married to Toya, Lil Wayne's ex. And, so when she put that out there, Toya wasn't believing it. And being that Toya and Tamar were friends at the time, Tamar put her 2 cents in, which she didn't listen to. And was kind of on the... was on Toya's side, kind of saying she's lying. Still kind of saying like Kay Michelle could be lying that it didn't happen.
Okay.
So,
okay.
They went. It was going back and forth. And this is at the time that Tamar was still working on the reel. Kay Michelle came back and called her a Muppet because she looked like a Muppet. She was doing an interview with somebody and said that Tamar looked like a Muppet. So Tamar goes on the reel and starts crying. So I guess to gain sympathy because she was called a Muppet. And I guess when she was growing up, she was teased. So, you know, that brought back those, you know, memories and feelings. So she cried on national television for being, because she was called a Muppet by Kay Michelle. And then Kay Michelle and Tamar, after all of that, they squashed their little beef, whatever they squashed their little beef they had. Why did Tamar get online and do a live and tell people the story of what was going on between her and Kay Michelle?
Wow.
And so she's like, they squashed their beef, and her going to tell a story, she brings back up the beef. So recently, and this is where I think why, if we excited, recently, Tamar did a podcast. She did a podcast today that there's a person trying to be a customer, but they can't sing. It was like, if you want to be a power, you need to do better. And I think Tamar Michelle heard that and took it as Tamar was taking a dig at her. So now the beef they had from years ago is now reignited. They both talented singers. Kay Michelle's always wanted to be the country. She's never wanted to be the country. She's always wanted to be the country, but when she got her record deal, labels told her she was too R&B and she was too R&B for us. And so she fulfilled her contract. Now she's doing country. But Kay wants to
Please don't start with that. Wow. You're tuned in to Six in a Row.
More playing in the background.
What?
So Them two beefing is stupid. And I think she came up with herself when she don't even insert herself. And then it's like come at you if you want to play the victim. I don't know.
Wow. It's all stupid. I mean, just keep it in the music.
But I'm saying with two singers, it's different. When there's two singers, it's different than rap. Rap is just on rap. When there's singers, it's different. When there's singers, it's different than when it's rap. Today that I never knew of.
What's that?
So, you know how they say, oh, carpenter ant? You ever heard of the carpenter ant? So, what I learned today, they have carpenter bees, and I never knew that.
Yeah?
But I've never heard of carpenter bees. And I learned that today. There's a such thing as carpenter bees. And I never knew that. So you know that them big black bees? The queen bees, but the big black bees? Those are called carpenter bees.
Okay.
I never knew that. I've seen them fly around. My aunt lives in Alabama. And in her backyard was the big bee. And she posted it on social media saying she got to fill those cracks in because she has a fence. And you know if you got the big cracks, like big spaces in your, they could come in through the fence. But she says she got to put those cracks up so they don't come in. And I said, you better be careful. And when they feel threatened, they will try to sting you.
Right.
And that's something I did not know. I've never heard of it, carpenter bees. So now, if I'm outside in the backyard and I see that same bee that I saw on my aunt's video, now I know. That's not the queen bee, it's the carpenter bee. Because we had
be careful.
In the front of the house, in the tree, was I think a wasp nest. It was like either wasp or something was making a nest in the tree on one of the limbs. In front of the house, so you know, not wasps. Those, I can't think of the name of the bugs. Remember the bugs that they were talking about? They said it came from China. And they look like. They got spots on them, so they might look like ladybugs.
They call it the China beetle, I think, or something like that.
So, I don't know if that's the bug, but it was a bug. It was like either a wasp or one of those was making a nest in the tree in front of the house. And the,
oh, wow.
It was hanging on the branch over the driveway. So if it would have fell, it could have fell on somebody's car, if somebody's car was parked there.
Wow.
So we got it. The guy walked by and saw. There's a guy who takes those kind of nests down. So he walked by and saw it, and he said, "Okay, you know, I'll take it down for you." No, he knew what to do to take it down. And when he took it down, porcelain. You know when porcelain hits the floor, how it sounds when it breaks?
Yeah.
That's how that sounded when it hit the floor. When the nuts hit the floor, that's how it sounded.
Wow.
And he said they were making nests all over the area, not just in front of our house, but all over the area. They were making nests. So he was going around wherever he see a nest, and he would take it down for the homeowners.
Wow.
Because you don't want to walk out, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to walk out your front door and a whole swarm of them start to attack you and you walking out your door, not knowing that there's a nest in the tree. Because, you know, they fly away, and then they come back. I'm not trying to get, I can't stand bugs crawling on me. I get the itching, and so I was shocked to hear that. I never heard of carpenter bees. I've heard of carpenter ants. I've never heard of carpenter bees. Now I know what that is. It's not a queen bee, because that thing was just flying with you. Videotaping, it was just flying. Cause I'm like, what's a queen bee? You know, there's other bees around, because the bees protect the queen. So wherever the queen goes, there's other bees around to protect the queen.
Right.
So I'm like, so my aunt, to be careful out there. Don't need you getting stung. So for the people listening, if you never heard, of carpenter bees, you can look it up and learn about it. So if you're chilling in your backyard, you see one, you know what it is. Don't think, oh, that's just a queen bee. Must be a bee's nest somewhere. Must be a beehive somewhere. That's just a queen bee. Nope. I've learned today that it's a carpenter bee. The fat-looking round bee is a carpenter bee, not a queen bee. It's called a carpenter bee. So if you ever see that in your backyard, just be careful. Don't get stung by it. You know, people do have allergic reactions to bees. So I would hate for somebody to get stung and have an allergic reaction and swell up in the face because of the bee. So, you guess who has their learning permit?
Guess who got their learning permit? Robert D. Savannah.
You said Robert. You got it right. It was Robert.
Robert. Wow. Go, Robert. That's what's up.
But, yeah, he's 16. Is he 16? Yeah, 15. Damn. Well,
I've known them that long.
Yep.
That's crazy.
But my nephew took him out so he can get familiar with, you know, like the intersection. Like, this is the intersection. This is the highway. This is just a plain street. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when my nephew asked him what an intersection was, he couldn't tell him. So he was like, do you really want your learner's permit? Do you really want it? Because he took it and failed it the first time, but you're allowed to take it again. I think it's two or three times. If you fail, you're allowed to take it like two or three times. After that, you just gotta. But he passed. He only got two wrong. But whatever he got wrong, he need to work on, because he get to that point, he want to start borrowing the car. He gotta be familiar with these streets.
Yeah. Now, have you ever drove before?
As well as people in Jersey drive crazy. So he's in New York, and then he's like, they here for the weekend, and then they're in New York. So, you know, being a first-time driver, you don't want to be around crazy drivers being a first-time driver, because it'll make you nervous.
Right. Right. Now, have you ever drove before?
Yes. My brother, years ago when I still lived in New York City, my brother came home, and his friend had gave him a car and was like, so remember the Mustangs?
Yeah.
Not the new ones now, but the old Mustangs. Well,
okay.
His friend had one of those and was looking for my brother to sell it. So while my brother had the car, he thought he would be nice and teach me how to drive. But
and you wrecked it.
No, I did not wreck it. What people got to understand is Mustangs have a sports, like a race car-like engine. It's not really a race car engine, but a race car-like engine. So that's not a car that you would try to teach somebody how to drive. And what they say when you're driving, they call it a lead foot.
You got lead touchy. Foot?
So then, because when I put my foot on the, you know how when people put their foot down and the car jerks a little?
Yeah.
The car did that. He said, uh-uh. My brother got scared and was like, nah, I'm not teaching you no more.
Wow.
So then years later down the line, me, my dad, my brother, a few of my brother's friends, we was at, this one we still, I think we still live in New York, but it was years ago. We was at a pool hall. And, you know, at a certain, well, New York, things stay open later than most states, because some states, you know, things may close at midnight or maybe 1 in the morning. But we were at the pool hall, and my dad was like, my dad said, go get the car. He gave me the car keys and let me drive it just a little bit. And then he took over. So I moved it just a little bit. And then he took over. But I never learned. I didn't want to learn, because living out here, like I said, people drive crazy. And I couldn't see myself driving in Jersey with these crazy drivers. Because I could see myself probably getting into an accident because of these crazy drivers. Even if I learned and got my permit, I still probably wouldn't be driving.
Okay.
But yeah, so Robert has his permit. I don't know who's teaching him how to drive. I don't know if my brother's going to teach him, his mother. I don't know. I think if his mother teaches him, She gonna drive him crazy. She teach him. She gonna drive him crazy. And he ain't gonna want to learn how to drive with her. So yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, you are enjoying Six and Road here on the 6 Hours Radio Network and Road to Stardom Network. Phone lines are open on my end at 424-243-9617. 424-243-9617. What's the number to your air?
What's up on my air?
Number to your air.
ain't nothing up on my air.
What's the number to your air so they can call?
Oh, 845-277-9356. No.
All right.
You know what's crazy, dude? Of all the years we've been doing Six and Road and, like, we simulcast together, like, help each other out on the station, nobody really calls in. And then when we do get people calling in, it's usually somebody crazy calling in. Remember, we did it a few times and people, because I think when we did it one time, it was raining, and usually when it rains, it messes up the servers, so we get crazy people calling in.
Wow. Guess what I did last week, and I was tripping. I had to listen to the whole show. I'm up here talking, thinking we live on air. I'm like, yeah, what's up? Well, she ain't just pressing one to let me in. I'm like, damn, what the hell are you doing? Then I hear, so did you like that, Raul? I said, wow, I forgot that whole show.
Was somebody putting the rerun?
Yeah, that was the show with Raul. He was like, yes, baby. I can't do the voice, but he was like.
Oh, on my side?
Yeah.
This dude, you know, some days I have to put in a rerun because I be tired. So, and I know I'm not going to make it doing a show because I will probably fall asleep while doing the show. I've done it, so, so what I do when I feel too tired to do a show, I put in a rerun. I don't know what's the rerun. I don't know exactly what's playing through the rerun. So you heard Raul.
Right.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious. So for all you sports fans out there, the playoffs is going on right now with the Knicks and the Sixers, and the Knicks is taking the lead of the game right now. Because my nephew, you know how I know? Because my nephew's downstairs going crazy because the Knicks is his team. I don't give two shits about, well, I won't say it like that. I don't care about the Knicks.
Well, let's see how these Cavs do tonight.
I used to be a Knicks fan a long time ago when Mark Jackson, who's been an analyst and a coach in the NBA over the years, when he was a player on the Knicks, that was the last time I've ever been a Knicks fan. And that's crazy. Crazy that the Knicks have been so disappointing that people have stop being Knicks fans because of it. That's crazy. That a lot of New Yorkers have stopped being Knicks fans because the Knicks are disappointing. Because they get to the playoffs and they get kicked out the first round. Or if depending on who they're playing, if they make it to the second round, after making it to the second round, they get kicked out. And it's like, big fans, you get disappointed. So you tired of disappointment, you stop being a Knicks fan. And they're trying to say that because Presley is such a Knicks fan that he put a hex on them. That's why they don't win. They don't win. Spike Lee, he's always at the game. Spike Lee is front row center at always at a game.
Yeah, Spike Lee, yeah. He's a lifetime ticket holder.
It don't matter. They think he's the reason why the Knicks don't win.
That's bullshit. I didn't go blaming on little Spikey.
Dude. You.
Listen, Spike was about to kick ass one time. Listen, Spike was about to kick ass one day when they wanted him to go through. We covered the story. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm Spike Lee. Yeah.
Because he always go through the service way to go to the game, but they didn't want him to do that. They didn't want him to do that anymore. You come in the regular way like everybody else, and he didn't want to do that because he feels I'm a celebrity. I don't want to be, but I can understand as a celebrity, a well-known celebrity at that.
I don't know what to tell you.
You don't want to walk through with the regular people because now they're gonna harass you. Yeah. Asking for autographs. You came to watch a game. You came to get harassed for autographs. And so he likes to go
right
to the service way. So this way he don't get harassed. Like, I'm not a celebrity, but if I was, if I'm at a restaurant and I'm with family, whoever I'm with, if I'm at a restaurant eating my dinner, I don't want to be harassed by a fan asking, can they have my autograph while I'm in the middle of eating dinner? If I'm done eating, that's a different story. But if I'm in the middle of eating, please don't tap me and ask me, can you have an autograph?
Right.
A lot of celebrities feel like that. But then, you know, you're invading their personal space. This is what people need to understand. Yes, they're celebrities. Yes, this is what they decided to be as a career, to be a movie star, whatever it is. But as a fan of that celebrity, if they're out of work somewhere with their family, enjoying family time, let them have that.
Right.
Like, don't interrupt. Like, if they at a restaurant, they're eating their dinner.
But you know that goes with the territory. That goes with the territory, though. That goes with the territory. You know that.
What I'm saying is, if I'm in the middle of picking up my fork to eat my spaghetti, do not tap me and ask me, can you have an autograph? If I'm in the middle of eating my spaghetti, wait till I'm finished. Once you notice that I'm finished, there's no food. Then you can ask for the autograph. Don't do it while I'm eating. Because now I'm busy talking to you, and my food is getting cold. Because in situations like this, another situation after Anthony Mackie, you know, he was in New Orleans. He was at a gas station getting gas and snacks. You know, the gas stations have the stores so you can get snacks. He was getting snacks. The girl posted a TikTok video about it. She said he was in his truck playing loud music, that she went up to him, you know, to say, you know, to let him know that she thinks he's a good actor and all that. And she said he was rude to her.
What was his name?
But Anthony Mackie.
Who the hell is that?
He's an actor.
I don't know.
Well-known actor. But this is what I'm saying about, you got to understand people have boundaries. And I don't care if you are not a celebrity. I don't care if you're a fan. These celebrities have boundaries. If they're
okay.
Because this ain't the first time that happened. Case in point, we talked to we spent this with the mother, the grandmother, and the son were out. And Anthony Mackie was at a restaurant, a fast bar, and he was outside smoking cigars. And the lady went up to him. Anthony Mackie said no. He told her no, right? Because she told him that her son was a fan of him. He says no. She goes over to the grandmother and the son and says that he says no. But then here comes the grandmother. She goes over there and she try to plead with him to get an autograph for the grandson when he said no already. And then they put it out
and
on
who,
social media.
And who was this again?
Anthony Mackie. They put it out
what,
on social
what,
media.
What does this dude play then? What does he play then? I've never
he's
heard
the,
of him.
He played in the Avengers. He's a superhero.
Oh, well. I don't watch
so,
stuff like that.
They put it out there on social media to make it seem like Anthony Mackie's this bad guy when he's not. He's on his personal time. I get it. That, you know, it comes with the territory of being a celebrity, but he's over there smoking a cigar. They wanted a picture, and he said no. They wanted a picture, and he said no.
Hello, Heartthrob from the 80s here.
How you doing, sir? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Cigar, having alcohol, you know, drinking alcohol, and you disturbing his personal time. For him to take a pic with a little kid that he already told the mother no, now the grandmother's over there trying to convince him to take the picture, and he's still saying no, and now you're making him seem like he's a bad guy because he said no. That's why I said if I'm at a restaurant and I'm in the midst of eating my food, please do not come up to me and ask me for a picture. Or can you have my autograph while I'm in the middle of eating? Because I'm not trying to have my food get cold while I'm giving you an autograph or taking a picture with you. Like, you're disturbing my time with whoever I'm with at the restaurant. Even if I'm by myself, this is probably the time I spend it with myself. I don't want to be disturbed. Wait till I'm finished eating and everything is cleared off the table and stuff like that. Just come up to me and say, can I have an autograph or something?
Well,
don't do it while I'm eating. That's being rude.
Well, you have to remember the fans is who make you. You have to remember that. And if you don't want to sign autographs, have some already made. That's what the Heartthrob and Six Eyes does.
It doesn't matter if it's the fans who make you. The fans need to be respectful. You cannot walk up to somebody. You cannot walk up to a celebrity while in the midst of them eating food to say, oh, can I have a picture or can I have an autograph?
Damn it.
Let them eat their food, and when they're done, they will give you that autograph or that picture you want. Just let them eat their food. You're interrupting a romantic, if they're with their husband or wife, you're interrupting their romantic moment, their date night, by wanting a picture. Or an autograph. They don't want to be cool and they give you the autograph and the picture. Now their food is cold. Because they're entertaining you while they're eating instead of eating their food. Now their food is cold. Nobody wants to eat cold food. Now they got to ask the waiter, can you take it back to the kitchen and have them warm it up because the person that made their food cold.
Right.
This is why some celebrities go to restaurants and dress incognito or incognito because they don't want to be seen. So they wear disguise so you don't know what's done and they can eat their food peacefully. I've seen many of celebrities in my day. I've gotten autographs from many of celebrities in my day. But you understand what I'm saying? And they were nice. I've met Omar Epps. I've met Marlon Wayans a long time ago. I met both of them at the same time because this is around the time.
That's my boy. Shout out to Marlon Wayans.
When Mo Money came out with him and his brother, I think it was around that time when they did that movie, Mo Money. And this is when MTV used to have this show. It was a dance show. It was a show where you come, it was like a, they show people like you know, film people like in a club, showing them dancing and stuff like that. It was me, my best friend, her, another friend of our, a few other friends of ours. We all went. It was downtown Manhattan. We went, and I forgot what the name of the show is because it didn't last that long. Omar S. was there to promote something. Marlon Wayans was there to promote something. And the dude from the first season of The Real World was there. I got his autograph. I think I got his autograph. So I wasn't like, where we were standing at, Omar Epps and Marlon was over there. And, you know, we were just like, can I have your autograph? Marlon was like, sure. Omar was like, sure. And I told him what my name was, and it was hard for him to say my name. I think either spell it or say it. Paul Anthony from 4-4 a long time ago. And this is when, you know, back in the day doing a summer youth job working in the motor vehicle, I was working, so we were working, me and another person were working the cameras where they take your picture for your license and stuff. I wasn't taking people's picture, but I was like, when they come, I would take their paper, and then somebody else would take their picture. So, and this was in Manhattan. So Paul Anthony came in, and I knew exactly who he was, but the person that was working with me didn't know who he was. And when I told her who he was, she said, oh, my friend wants to know if she could have your autograph. And I wound up getting Paul Anthony's autograph. And this is when he still had the Jerry curls. So that should tell you how long ago that was, because he still had the Jerry curls.
Wow.
He was nice. It's a DMV. It's not like it was, you know, like he's eating or something. It's DMV, you know.
Uh-huh.
Celebrities like to go to certain places because they know a lot of the people there are not going to know who they are. Like, you can go to certain places, and they know a lot of people are not going to know who they are, so they're not going to be bothered. They know they're not going to be bothered. But people need to understand that celebrities are human, too. You have to stop putting celebrities that you like on a high pedestal. that you think that whenever you see them that you can stop them to get an autograph or take a picture or if you do that and they talk to you in a manner you don't like, you don't want interrupting them. They're not interrupting you. You're interrupting them. You know what I'm saying? So if they talk to you in a manner that you don't like, it's your fault. So you can't be coming on social media trying to paint this celebrity as a bad person. It's your fault they talk to you in the manner that they did. Case in point, Anthony Mackie, the way he speaks to people, they say he's, you know, he's rude. But I can see his point, and I can see the person's point who's thinking he's rude. It's like I'm here minding my business, and I'm on my personal time. I'm at the gas station getting gas and some snacks, and I'm going to get on my way. And it's like you coming up. I'm in my car, even though because the girl said his car, he was playing loud music. You're coming up to me, to my car, my personal space, to tell me that I'm a good actor. Just to tell me, you coming up to me in my car, my personal space, to tell me I'm a good actor. I didn't ask you to come up. Like, if I'm out the car, and if we're in the store together, and you see that, I'm okay with that. If you see me in the store and you say, oh, I really, do great work, love your movie, whatever, I'm okay with that. But once I'm in my personal space, meaning my car or my truck, whatever it is, do not come up to my car talking about, oh, you were, what the heck was that?
Wow.
What was that? Scared the heck out of me. Sounded like a bomb went off.
What was it?
I don't know. I'm in my room. And you can't hear it because I'm not close enough for you to hear it. You know how when they, remember the M80s, when they would do the fireworks?
Yeah.
How it sounded when it went off? That's how that sounded.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how Raul and the Rick Rick got in here, but they're in here dancing. I don't know how they got in here. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Who let you in?
What? What they dancing to? So, yeah, everybody, we as fans of these celebrities have to stop putting them on a high pedestal. They're humans just like we are, and they want to be treated as such. Yes, you've seen them in a lot of movies, and you like their movies. You see them out and about, and you want to approach them. Please don't approach them when they're in their personal space. Like they're at a restaurant, and they're eating. Don't approach them while they're eating. Wait till they're done, and then you approach them and say, hey, is it okay if I get your autograph or a pic? And if somebody says yes because they're done eating, you're not disturbing them. Because nobody wants to eat cold food while at a restaurant. Because the time I'm taking to talk to you and give you an autograph and a picture, my food is getting cold. So, you know, they are humans just like you are, because I'm sure you out and about and somebody see you and they approach you the same way you would approach a celebrity, you wouldn't like it either. And then you would understand what these celebrities go through when stuff like that happens to you. So, you know, treat them like they're humans. Don't be putting them on this high pedestal. So, yeah. So, I saw an article where Andre 3000 said that there are no good rappers out anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree with him because you know, we got these new school rappers, they all kind of sound the same. So it's like when you hear a new rap song, you may think it's one rapper, but it's a whole different rapper. But because they sound the same, you think it's that rapper. So, yeah. That's what he said. And then, you know, somebody commented and said, you know what? Yep, you could be part of the solution by saying who you like, who are the rappers that you like. And remember, we had conscious rap. We don't really have that anymore. Conscious rap kind of came back a little bit, but it ain't back fully. You got a lot of people talking about guns, drugs, I did this, I did that, you know, like I slept with so-and-so, it was like a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am type of situation. And you get stuff like that in songs. And the rap that we grew up on, wasn't nothing like that. We had rap songs that we could play to this day that we still party and listen to.
That's right.
These new school rappers, like, the only thing good about their song is the beat. A lot of these new school rappers, to me, the only thing good about their song is the beat. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, he said, so the rap game has changed. The rap game has really changed. And I don't know if it's changed for the good. But here's an article I want to share. This just popped up. And it says, a woman said her tattoos got her rejected for a job, but experts said personality is far more important. Dude, she has tattoos on her face.
Oh.
So remember, you know, remember this back in the day, how the like in our parents' day, how they would have the traveling circus, and they would have the freak show, and it would, freak show would be a man and a woman fully tatted, and so it looks freaky. So when people see it, it looks freaky to them. Well, that's...
Yeah.
But you're going for a job interview with tattoos all over your face. This is what she could have did. She could have took some concealer makeup. She could have covered up her tattoos. Went for the job interview. I get it. Her covering up is not showing her real self. But if you want the job and you need the money, you got to do what you got to do to get the job. And if that's covering up your tattoos on your face, then that's that. So I'm going to read, it says, "The tattoo content creator sparked a debate about hiring biases after the At first say tattoos can impact hiring decisions, especially in customer role, but overall personality and culture fit are more important. The TikToker asked Putnam was frustrated after TJ Maxx denied his invitation, and she thinks her tattoos were to blame. Some of her visible signs include a skull with horns on her neck, solid black patches on her arms, and a pattern on her forehead. Putnam, 20, she's only 23 years old and got all those damn tattoos. Putnam, 23, also has multiple facial piercings, including a large silver ring hanging from her septum. I hate that my tattoos are such a defining factor for me getting a job or not, she said in a recent TikTok. Just because I have tattoos doesn't mean I'm not going to be a good worker. Putnam from California said she went into the store to ask why she hadn't gotten a job. And the hiring manager told her she didn't have enough. The hiring manager denied that her tattoos played any role in the rejection. He didn't have to not respond to a request by business side for comment.
You know what she had tattoos.
And the girl's not going to say because she's not going to say we're discriminating you because of your tattoos. Because then you have a reason to sue TJ Maxx for not hiring you. If I tell you, if I say to you, well, we didn't hire you because you're blind, you can sue us for saying because our real name is because you're blind. Not that you couldn't do the job, only because you're blind, we didn't want to hire you. You can sue us because that's discrimination. But the company's not going to tell you that because they know they can be sued if they're discriminating against them. They know they can be sued. But yes, your taxes are one of the main reasons. And if you never worked in retail, no company, no retail company really, they don't, retail companies nowadays don't want to hire experienced people. They want to hire people that have some type of experience in retail. Because, you know, they got to, because they hire you, they got to train you, and it takes a while. You never have retail experience to learn their system. It takes a while. Well, the article said that TJ Maxx didn't respond. So, if her video goes viral, people are going to be wanting TJ Maxx to respond. Here's something everybody should know. This is a tip from a flight attendant. I'm going to click on this article. There's a tip from a flight attendant for finding cheap airline tickets. I'm going to click on that article. So it says, how to find the cheapest airfare every time is genius. Since everyone loves to travel, but most people don't think they can afford it, this clever tool is trying to change that. Capital One Shopping finds low prices on flights, hotels, and other travel essentials from price comparisons to coupon codes. This extension rolls almost every Google hack. Imagine, here's how it works. It is as you make flight reservations on platforms like TripAdvisor, Expedia, or Cheap or Air, Capital One Shopping silently works in the background searching for best coupon codes to apply during checkout. These plane tickets to Miami have been discounted by $140 without sacrificing your carry-on or selling for a budget airline. Same American Airlines tickets just as a lower price. Not only does this tool find money-saving coupons, money-saving coupon codes, but it also compares prices on Amazon. While you shop, it checks hundreds of other sellers to find a lower price. So whether shopping for luggage or a perfect beach vacation outfit, you can get it for less. It says last year, Capital One Shopping saved its customers over $800 million, and you can install and set it up in seconds and easily uninstall it if you don't like it. So there's no reason not to give it a try right now. Okay, but that's not the art. This can't be the article about the flight attendant. Talking about Capital One, how is that the article? But they say for those who like to travel, they say Wednesday is the best day to search for a flight, cheap flight. Wednesday is the best. And when you do it, I heard someone say go incognito when you're searching for airplane flights. Go incognito. So they don't know that you're searching. Someone said that they were searching for flights. They saw one that was a decent price. And when it went back, that the price had jumped up. You see, by going incognito, by doing that, they don't know that you're searching. By going incognito, they don't know that you're searching on their app. So when a price is quoted, let's say the ticket is for one way $140, because you only need a one way, and you say, okay, that's cheap, I could do $140, right? When you go back, when you search on by doing incognito, and let's say you leave the site and then you go back, that price that they quoted, that $140, would still be there. The price wouldn't have went up. When you do it on a regular browser, leave and go back, that price changed, that price would have had changed. It might have had, went up one, maybe a few dollars. It could have went up $100 more. So instead of it being $140 at $240, which is still not bad. But see, I like those airlines that give discounts. Let's see, like Southwest, JetBlue, they do discounted flights. But they only do it to certain states. So say like you got to go to California, and Southwest might be offering a discounted flight, but they'll say, oh, we're offering this discounted flight, but it's to Florida, somewhere in Florida. Or it could be like, say, to Chicago. It's a discounted price, but it's to Chicago. You're not going to Chicago. So, yeah. So, for those that like, try it out. The Capital One Shopping tool, let it help you. Because I have it on my phone, and I can, I use it to search for, flights and stuff.
What's in your wallet?
And it works, and they notify you. So like they while you're searching all these sites and they compare prices, they will notify you when they find something cheaper. To let you know we found something cheaper than what you found on, let's say, Expedia.
Okay.
if you're going to places like, you know, to the warm states like California, Florida, if you're going to the warm states, you want to visit the warm states, if you want a cheap flight, I would say do a one-way going and then do a one-way coming back. That's what I would suggest. Like, because you got some one-ways that could be, a ticket could be $95. And it could be $95 coming back.
Uh-huh.
It depends on the airline, though. It depends on what airline.
You're enjoying Six in a Row every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific.
Oh, it's that time it is, 6.
All right.
It's trivia time. It is trivia time.
Bring it.
Let's get this trivia. Let me pull up the trivia. My nephew's going crazy. That means the Knicks is winning.
All right.
Here we go. I got the first question. Whatever you got playing in the background, you will have to cut it off so you can hear me clearly.
Let's go. Let's go.
Here's the first one. Where was the Constitution of the United States kept during World War II? Where was the Constitution of the United States kept during World War II? Was it Alcatraz Island, Fort Knox, the Pentagon, the Library of Congress? Where was the Constitution of the United States kept during World War II?
The Library of Congress. Bring it.
Okay. Here's the correct answer to that question. It says, located on the upper level of the National Archives Museum, the Rotunda for the Charters of Independence is a permanent home of the original Declaration of Independence, Constitution of the United States, and Bill of Rights. But what happened to these documents during World War II, as anxiety over a potential Japanese invasion gripped the nation, officials decided to send the documents to an even more secure area for safekeeping. They were put on a train along with the Gettysburg Address and taken to Fort Knox in Kentucky under the vigilant guard of armed Secret Service officers. So it was in Fort Knox.
Okay.
So you're 0-1. You're 0-1,
all right,
dude.
All right. Bring it.
Here's the next one. Okay. What retailer was originally named The Sounds of Music? Was it Target, Radio Shack, Best Buy, Circuit City? What retailer was originally named Sound of Music? Target, Radio Shack, Best Buy, Circuit City.
Best Buy.
Correct. They are one for one. Says originally named Sound of Music, the renowned retailer we now know as Best Buy emerged from humble beginnings. Founded by Richard Schultz in 1966, the company initially focused on audio equipment. A tornado struck a Minnesota location in 1981, destroying the showroom, but leaving the showroom intact. The store subsequently launched a tornado sale, advertising Best Buys on its remaining inventory. Following the sale, the company decided to broaden its range of products, leading to the store's rebranding as Best Buy in 1983. So you're one for one. You're one for one. Here's the next one. Here's a third question. Before pivoting to chewing gum, what was Wrigley's main product? Soap, shoe polish, baseballs, pocket watches. Before pivoting to chewing gum, what was Wrigley's main product? Soap, shoe polish, baseballs, pocket watches.
Shoe polish.
So you're one for two.
Says, in the late 1800s, William Wrigley took over his father's soap business. He began giving away baking powder as an incentive to buy his soap. Finding that the baking powder was more popular than his soap, Wrigley switched to selling baking powder, this time giving his customers two packages of chewing gum for each can of baking powder they purchased. Again, Wrigley found that the premium he offered was more popular than his primary product. Wrigley pivoted again, this time to chewing gum, ultimately transforming his company into one of the most prominent gum manufacturers in the world. Yep, because I love Double Mint and Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
Well, you're one for two. Here's the next question. Before it was a credit card brand, which company was a delivery service? Was it Visa, Discover, MasterCard, American Express? Before it was a credit card brand, which company was a delivery service? Visa, Discover, MasterCard, American Express.
American Express.
So you're two for two. Before American Express became synonymous with credit cards, it had humble beginnings as a delivery service. Founded in 1850, American Express initially focused on the secure and swift delivery of valuable goods, documents, and parcels via train in New York and the Midwest. Over time, the company evolved to meet the changing needs of its customers by transitioning into the financial services sector, where it became a pioneer in the credit card industry. They developed their first paper charge card in
1958, gold card in 1966, green card in 1969, platinum card in 1984, and centurion card in 1999. So you're 2 for 2. Here's the next one.
Bring it.
What computer language was renamed after a warm beverage? What computer language was named after a warm beverage? Is it Coco, Espresso, Cider, Java? What computer language was renamed after a warm beverage?
Java. JavaScript.
Correct. You're 3 for 2. Java is a computer programming language. It enables programmers to write computer instructions using English-based commands instead of having to write in numeric codes. It's known as a high-level language because it can be read and written easily by humans. In the early 90s, Java, which originally went by the name Oak and then Green, was created by a team led by James Gosling for Sun Microsystems, a company now owned by Oracle. Over the years, Java has evolved as a successful language for use both on and off the Internet. Here's the next one.
Bring it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the next one. And it's coming. Okay, here's the next one. What is the only state whose capital is named after a man who served as Vice President of the United States? What is the only state whose capital is named after a man who served as Vice President of the United States? Is it Missouri, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Mississippi? What is the only state whose capital is named after a man who served as Vice President of the United States? Missouri, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Mississippi.
Say that one more time.
What is the only state whose capital is named after a man who served as Vice President of the United States? Is it Missouri, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Mississippi?
Wisconsin.
You're 3 for 3. Of the 50 U.S. capital cities, only one is named after a person who held the role of Vice President of the United States. Jefferson City, Missouri. Thomas Jefferson served under John Adams from 1797 to 1801 as the country's second ever Vice President. Jefferson later became president himself, and in 1803 he acquired the land that is now Missouri as part of the Louisiana Purchase in 1821. The year Missouri achieved statehood, the legislature selected a site to serve as the state capital and settled on the name Jefferson City to honor the men who had purchased the land to begin with.
So you're 3 for 3.
Let's go.
Next one. What European monarch reportedly owns 413 beds? What European monarch reportedly owns 413 beds? Is it Henry VIII, Elizabeth II, Louis XIV, Alexander the Great? What European monarch reportedly owned 413 beds? Is it Henry VIII, Elizabeth II, Louis XIV, Alexander the Great?
Louis XIV. Ring it. Ring it.
Correct. So you're 4 for 3 now. With a reign totaling 72 years, King Louis XIV held the throne longer than any monarch in the history of France or the world. For that matter, known as the Sun King, Louis XIV embraced opulence to a historic degree throughout his reign. From 1643 to 1715, case in point, His Majesty reportedly owned no fewer than 413 beds, which were considered status symbols at the time. Few people had the wealth, let alone space, to afford and display such a vast collection, let alone...
Wonder how big the bed was.
A vast collection of luxurious furniture, but the French monarch was a uniquely ostentatious individual. All right.
Bring it.
All right, here's the next question. So you're 4 for 3. What was the first movie released on DVD? What was the first movie released on DVD? The Matrix, Twister, Armageddon, Men in Black.
Twisted.
First movie released on DVD was Twister, a 1996 action-packed disaster film starring Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. The release of Twister on DVD in 1997 marked a significant milestone in home entertainment history as it ushered in a new era of high-quality video playback and convenience for consumers. The film's thrilling tornado-chasing sequences and groundbreaking visual effects made it an ideal choice for showcasing the capabilities of the emerging DVD format, which offered superior pictures and sound quality compared to VHS. Okay. For 3. Here's the next one. Who was the host of the cooking show, The French Chef? Who was the host of the cooking show, The French Chef? Was it Wolfgang Puck, Ina Garten, Julia Child, Gordon Ramsay? Who was the host of the cooking show, The French Chef? Wolfgang Puck, Ina Garten, Julia Child, Gordon Ramsay.
Julia Child.
Correct. So now you're 6-3. It says the French chef was. Says the French chef was hosted by the legendary culinary figure Julia Child. Debuting in 1963, the show revolutionized television cooking programs and introduced American audiences to the art of French cuisine. Julia Child, with her charismatic and unpretentious demeanor, became a beloved household name, guiding viewers through the intricacies of French cooking with her iconic voice and reassuring presence. Her groundbreaking approach to cooking, combined with her passion for teaching, made the French chef a cultural phenomenon and laid the foundation for modern cooking shows. So you're 6-3, and let's do two more.
Let's go. Who want to challenge me? Who want to challenge me out there? Let's go.
Following is equal to 1 century. Which of the following is equal to 1 century? Is it 2 score years, 4 score years, 5 score years, 10 score years? Which of the following is equal to 1 century?
Ten scores.
Says a score is a unit of time equivalent to 20 years. The term carries a nostalgic charm often found in classical literature and honorary, evoking a sense of timelessness. Abraham Lincoln's immortal words in the Gettysburg Address 4 score and 7 years ago echoed through time, precisely referring to a period of 87 years prior to his speech. Lincoln gave the speech in 1863 and was making a reference to the year 1776 when the Declaration of Independence was written, a century which is a span of 100 years, contains a total of 5 scores. So it's 5, not 10.
Okay.
All righty. We got one more. So there's 6-4. What is the name of the supercomputer in 2001, A Space Odyssey? What is the name of the supercomputer in 2001, A Space Odyssey? Is it Watson, HAL, Deep Blue, Sam? What is the name of the supercomputer in 2001, A Space Odyssey? Watson, HAL, Deep Blue, Sam?
Watson.
That was wrong. It says, in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, HAL is an advanced artificial intelligence computer system installed aboard the spacecraft Discovery, one designed to assist the crew during their journey to Jupiter. HAL is portrayed as an advanced sentient being capable of independent thought and emotion.
As tensions rise and mysterious events unfold, Hal's actions become increasingly ominous and unpredictable, leading to a deadly confrontation with the human crew. Hal's portrayal in the film serves as a cautionary tale about the potential dangers of artificial intelligence. So you're 7-4. You're 7-4.
Not bad.
You're 7-5. That's right. You're 7-5. And how much time we have left? We have 20. We got 20 minutes left in the show, and you know, we ended the trivia. What is that noise? It's crackling on the phone. Sound like...
Yeah, that is on my end.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, it's McNair.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
Hey, Michelle. So we just finished trivia. Remember what happened last time you was on this big trivia? You got 7 out of 5 this time.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You been studying?
Nobody wants to challenge me. Yeah.
He put that out there, too, for people to call in.
Maybe next time I'll challenge you.
So he got 7 out of 5. But it's random questions, so you can't. It's not something you can study for. These are random trivia questions that I get in my email every day that I like doing, and I give it to Six to do on the show, and he gets some of them right, he gets some of them wrong. But he got 7 out of 5. That's not bad.
Not bad.
So, you know, we got the different. So, anybody wants to join Six and do
Alexa,
trivia?
What's the score for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I don't think the game started yet.
Oh, they're tied.
So, as we were saying earlier, the playoffs are on. The Knicks are, I guess, they're in the final quarter playing against the Sixers, and Cleveland is playing right now is
the Magic.
So if the Knicks win this, they knock the Sixers out of the playoffs. If Cleveland win this, I'm not sure. I don't know if they knocked them out or not. Even though I'll be watching it, I don't really be watching it. I'll be downstairs chilling with the fam because they want to watch it. So I know I don't really be watching it. But
me too. Me either.
Fans, I know all them sports fans out there, I know they're going crazy. You know, there's a lot of Knicks fans in the bars going crazy, yelling at the TV in the bars. Messed up. I know there's people at home going crazy like my nephew is. That's his team.
Forget about Spike Lee, your boyfriend.
That ain't my boyfriend. Spike Lee married. That ain't my boyfriend.
Aren't you
earlier,
you are Rhode, right? Aren't you Rhode?
So what my name is, Ro, I ain't been a Knicks fan since Mark Jackson's been a Knicks. So that should tell you I'm not going to scream and holler like everybody else for the Knicks.
Well, the article.
Not going to do it. My team, which got kicked out, they didn't even make it to the playoffs. They need to get it together so at least we can at least make the playoffs. And my team is the Nets. I was a Knicks fan. I was a Nets fan. And I just was like, you know what? I'm tired of the damn Knicks. I'm just going to be a Nets fan. Even though they haven't won either. They haven't won any championships either. But at least they, you know, at least they get themselves there to the playoffs. But this time they didn't. But at least they would get themselves there. The Knicks wasn't getting themselves to the playoffs. That's what pissed off a lot of Knicks fans. They wasn't getting themselves to the playoffs. And then when they did get themselves to the playoffs, they would lose in the first round. And that's what's so crazy, is they would lose in the first round. Or if they did, they could lose
somebody
the
fried
round,
chicken?
They would lose that.
Is somebody frying chicken?
No.
No. I didn't fry chicken. I cooked steak and shrimp.
Okay, it sounds like, I don't know what that is.
Oh, because the feedback, when you opened the mic, there was feedback. But, so he's saying it sounds like somebody's flying chicken.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to rain?
I don't hear it now.
Is it supposed to rain?
Not sure.
Is it raining where you at?
I don't think so.
It's
too dark to tell.
It is raining like crazy right now. The rain is hitting on my window hard. It's loud.
No, it's not raining. Not here.
The rain is loud.
Well, is that what I hear? The rain
is loud.
That must be the rain then. Well, for all you women out there, Jimmy Walker is looking for a wife. So if you are a fan of the Crazed Dynamite 1970 show, good times, you can marry Jimmy Walker. So
Six, I hear you on the market too. You're looking for a wife too, right?
So,
can you hear the rain?
So here's the thing. So if that happens, we will have the wedding live on Six Eyes Radio Network.
Who's getting married?
Say it again.
Whose wedding you talking about having live on the radio?
I said whoever marries Jimmy Walker will be live on air on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Jimmy Walker's a good friend of mine.
Nobody wants Jimmy Walker.
Well, what about Six Eyes getting married?
When I get married, the lady will be very happy when I get married.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, for all the millions of my fans out there? No. But for all the millions of my fans out there, I'll still be in touch with y'all, so don't worry about it. I'll be putting up daily posts, and you can have virtual cups of coffee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I would ask you a question since you brought up Jimmy Walker. What makes you think there are women out there that want Jimmy Walker?
Because the post, he was the sex symbol for the 70s for y'all.
For you?
According,
dude,
according,
I was born in 74. He was no sex symbol for me.
Well, they said he was Will Smith of the 70s. That's what they said.
Well,
I
don't know what book you read.
Good Times. JJ was no looker when he was on Good Times. Yes, he dated a lot of nice-looking girls, but he was no looker.
Yes, he did. Especially Barbara. I can't think of her name, but when he had that author, she was fine. Her name was Barbara on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He dated some nice women on there.
Oh, yeah?
He did, but that don't mean that women watching the show was like, ooh, I got to have me some J.J. Walker. No.
I think Wilona liked J.J.
No, don't put that on. Mm-mm, don't put that on her like that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that to her.
Now everybody know Thelma. Now, Thelma.
You're telling us from keeping this thing. If a woman chooses J.J. Walker and they decide to get married and you broadcast it live on air, nobody wants to watch J.J. Walker get married or hear him get married.
Listen, and I would expect that from a jealous fan. You listen, if you want to marry,
jealous,
you know what? I'm going to write an email. Listen,
about.
Listen. I'm going to write an
what
email.
Jealous about J.J. Walker's like in his late 60s, early 70s. What do I need to be jealous about? Say that to me. What I need to be jealous about? Late 60s, early 70s, in that age range, what I need to be jealous about? If there is a woman that wants J.J. Walker, more power to her. But I don't want to hear on the radio airwaves him getting married. Nor do I want to see it on television. But I do want to know his thoughts, Bernadette Stanis' thoughts, and what's his name that played Michael?
Ralph Carter.
Ralph, I want to know their thoughts on the reboot of Good Times, of it being an animation.
I don't know.
Being that they were the stars of the show, I would love to hear what they have to say about it. That show launched their careers. But J.J. was a comedian. He was a comedian, so but he wasn't that well known as a comic, so that helped boost career as a comic.
Uh-huh.
Ralph, you know, I haven't since Good Times, I don't even know what else Ralph Carter ever acted in. Same thing with Bernadette Stanis. I don't know what else besides Good Times is she acting. But that show did help their career. So I want to know, I would love to hear their opinion about it because, like I said, last time we talked about it, I wasn't watching it. I still haven't watched it. I don't care.
I'm
going to
check it out. I'm going to check it out. It's on Netflix.
It's
yeah.
On Netflix.
It's called Good Times 24. Good Times 2024, exactly. Something like that. Is that what it's called?
No, it's just called Good Times.
It's actually called Good Times 2024. Sorry, I was on mute when you was asking.
Well, it has no interest to me because, like, I get it if you want to do a reboot of a show. And you do it in animation, but you gotta stick to the original. don't change it up and make it different than what the original purpose of the show was.
They could have still kept Thelma, Michael, and JJ around since they're still living.
They did. But they are little kids. They're not grown up. Remember, Michael was in Michael was elementary went to high school when he did Good Time. And then Thelma was high school, college. And JJ was just high school. He didn't go to college. He went to work after graduating high school. The animation version is their little kids. They're not like they're little kids.
Oh.
It's a lot of cursing in it, too, it seems like. It's like they was trying to do what South Park and some of those other animated shows.
I get it. You want to redo old TV shows. Hey, put it in animation is fine. As long as you keep it just like the original. Like, where Good Time left off, the reboot could have started there. Where Good Times left off, the reboot could have started there. And they could have, from there, you know, kept going with the show. Like, I think, you know, Thelma and Keith were married. The mother remarried. They could show Michael as a grown man. And not a young boy. So Michael as a grown man, not a young boy.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing about these cartoons. Nobody ever really grows up. The Flintstones, they never got older. Scooby-Doo, they never got older. You never
Simpsons,
thought of the cartoon people.
Still watch The Simpsons. Bart and Lisa still in element. Maggie never grew up. And it's like, damn,
yeah.
I've been on for like 30 years. You know what I'm saying? No one got to see Bart go through puberty, go through his teenage years, nor Lisa. Nobody saw Maggie grow up. But they still love the show. And see, you can get away with that with animation. And if it was actually real live people playing The Simpsons, they wouldn't have been able to get away with that. Because he would have been like, when's Maggie going to grow up? When Lisa and Bart going to high school? So, yeah. Well, time to say goodbye to the people, Six.
All right, America. Well, thanks for tuning in to Six and Road. What you doing on your air?
What am I doing on my air?
Yeah.
Well, I always play great music.
Okay. That's what's up. All right. Good night, America. Peace.
So, I will see y'all later tonight at 11 p.m. for the
Indie. Hi, everyone. Oh, sorry.
For the Indie Experience. And we will see you on Wednesday for BOE, for the Pages to the Airwaves. That's at 11. I think I may do both the Promote Your Business show. I might do that and still do BOE.
90 seconds.
I may do it. But on Six Eyes Radio, Children's Bible Study with Missionary Ken, that's at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then at 7 p.m. is adult Bible study. And the number for that is 424-243-9617. I don't know the number to the second stage. I still ain't remember it like I remember this one. But
60 seconds.
You just look it up. Six Eyes. Just put Six Eyes. And all the shows going on will pop up. And you click on the one that says Children's Bible Study. And you'll be able to listen by phone or you can listen by computer. It's best if you do it by phone so that if you want to participate in the show, Missionary Kim will open your mic and you can participate in the show. So we will see you next time for another edition of Six and Road. Peace, one love, everybody.